5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Really glad to have you in the house.
Thank you.
Going forward as a co-host of this show, and it's a good day for us.
Well, the welcome has been very warm, and for that, thank you. Okay. I appreciate that. All right, you know, joining us right now, someone who is a frequent guest on this show, Larry Kudlow, CNBC senior contributor and host of The Larry Kudlow Show, right here on WMAL, Saturdays, 7 o'clock. He is also the author of JFK and the Reagan Revolution, A Secret History of American Prosperity. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Larry.
Morning, Mary. Congrats.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's so nice to be able to join such...
Keep them honest, Mary. Don't let them push you around. Keep them honest.
Oh, you have no idea. Did you know that when I took this, they gave me a whip and a chair? I'm not quite sure why. I just looked at Bill Hess and said, what is this for?
So I said, oh, you'll find out.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Exactly what he said to me.
Good luck, though.
Let's start. Can we start off on a positive note? There, a new Harvard-Harris poll showed that Americans are just brimming with optimism about the economy, with 61% viewing the economy as strong. Is there anything to back that up, or is this just based on just a general feeling that comes from the White House?
Well, that's a good question, and it's awfully hard to pin down. You know, a lot of these confidence numbers, Michigan surveys and Gallup surveys and other surveys, conference board surveys, have shown a spike in confidence, quite a significant spike, ever since the election. So you can draw your own conclusions. But I do think that there is a Trump effect going on here, and I guess it's going to continue for a while. The economy itself is getting better slightly. I mean, I wouldn't want to emphasize that too much because the numbers, you know, recent round of numbers for the month of January showed better retail sales, good car sales. Okay, we like that. Sort of flattish home sales, nothing great going on, and really nothing great on business investment. And that's the key to the economy, and that's the one that's slumping, and that's the one that Trump's business tax cuts is really aimed at. So, like, industrial production is flat, business equipment is flat. I don't see it yet, you know, but I'm glad people... A lot of this could be, and I underscore could be, the stock market has had quite a run. Now, the stock market can be a barometer of confidence, and the stock market is a leading indicator of the economy. So maybe you see it there. On the other hand,
my question about that is it real or is it a bubble?
Well, it's not a bubble. I mean, we're sort of catching up to where we were maybe 10, 15 years ago. But I was just going to add that if you don't get the business tax cuts through, I think the public is going to be sorely disappointed, yeah. And I think the stock market would be too. So there's a lot of pressure on Congress and the Trump administration to get them through, yeah. Which you've heard me say many times. Don't wait, just get it through this spring.
On Obamacare, it looks like the House is going to soon unveil its Obamacare remedy. And Rand Paul took to the airwaves and said, you know what, it's sort of Obamacare light is what they're coming up with. And he thinks we need a complete repeal of the legislation and just start over from scrap. Where do you come down on this, Larry?
I come down, I want to see where we're going here.
Yeah,
that's really where I come down. Senator Paul is a friend, and he's, of course, entitled to his opinion, but I'm not sure he's right. I'm not sure what the plan's going to be, and there's going to be a lot of negotiations. So we'll see about that. We're in the middle of February. We're coming towards the end of February. You got to have a budget resolution, and it's going to have reconciliation instructions for health care. And you can, I think they're going to repeal as much as they can repeal. Not everything can go into the budget on that. But again, broken record that I am, they better have business tax cuts in there. That's going to have a major effect. I want to add one other thing. I noticed in the papers recent days, the administration is putting out an economic growth forecast of 3 to 3.5%. And everyone's saying, no, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. Of course you can do that. If you're going to lower taxes across the board, and if you're rolling back regulations, and if you're rolling back health care, which itself was a big regulatory and tax hiker, of course you can have 3 to 3.5%. I'm just amazed that all these people out there, you can't do it. First of all, the Obama team routinely put out 3 to 4% economic growth forecasts, and they're not even close. Never close. They didn't have 3% for one single year.
Right.
But they were guilty of that. And their argument is more spending and more taxing is just what the economy needs. Well, in Trump's case, he's running a supply-side policy of tax cuts and rolling back regs. I think 3 to 3.5% is doable, provided that they stay on track with the policies. And I think the Republican Congress will move in that direction. And I would just say to these people who say, no, 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 you can't. We had it from 1950 to 2000. The American economy grew at 3.5% per year after inflation. 50 years, okay? And for the entire 20th century, we grew at 3.5% per year after inflation. That's 100 years. So don't tell me we can't do it. If we have pro-growth policies, we can do it, and we will do it.
Well, isn't it better to under-promise and over-deliver than doing what the past administration did?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I think 3 to 3.5% is really under-promising. I'd go to 4, 4.5%.
Wow.
This economy never rebounded from the recession. This is the worst recovery rate in history, or at least since World War II. But I think one of the worst in history. Anyway, point I'm making is this is very doable. And yeah, it has important effects. It affects jobs and wages. It affects revenues. It affects budgets. You know, there's no better way to knock down the budget deficit than to grow at 3 to 3.5%. In the CBO, their rule of thumb is every 1 percentage point increase in real GDP above the baseline. The baseline is now 2. If you go to 3, you pick up, you lose $3.3 trillion, something
right,
like that, in the deficit. Deficit comes down by over $3 trillion over 10 years by increasing economic growth. And, of course, we can do that.
All right. We're going to
we can.
We're gonna have to leave it right there. Larry Kudlow, it is always illuminating to have you on the show.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Good
it
luck,
is,
Mary.
It,
thank you. Good luck.
It's not. I'm not
good
that
luck,
bad.
Good luck, Mary. And a lot of people are wishing me good luck.
Yeah.
Just worried.
No, I'm a lovely guy. Mm-hmm.